Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
We're back to the Total Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, and Google Plus, Neil Haley. And my voice is starting to feel better after I thought, oh no, I'm going to get sick again and lose my voice like I do twice a year. But it continues to be interesting, and some interesting celebs today. So I'm excited to welcome the program from Nickelodeon, Every Which Way, Paris Smith. Paris, thanks for calling, and how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, and I know you're in Florida right now and having a blast. Thanks for taking the time filming the fourth season. I'm sure you're enthused about another year of the show, right? For sure.
Yeah, I'm so excited about this season. This season's going to be so much fun, and unfortunately it is going to be our last season, but you know, we had a really good run with it, and all my cast members and I were like a huge big family, and we're so glad. We were so happy when we found out we're going to be coming back to Florida to film.
So you got the fourth season, and you never know where that goes next. That's another opportunity for you. You're getting out there throughout in your career, and people are seeing things for sure. Tell us specifically your character on Every Which Way. Tell us about that for our listeners that might not know your character.
Well, I play Maddie Van Pelt, who is the most popular girl in school. She's a fashionista. She loves to rule the world, basically. She has witch powers, and when she found out she had witch powers, she didn't know what to do with them at first. She was kind of communicating with them, and she was casting all sorts of spells, and it was very messy on set with all the effects. And in season two, she found out that her mom took her powers from her, so she was really devastated, and her best friend, the characters, lied to her about it, and she was really devastated, and she kind of had an emotional breakdown, which was such a fun scene to film. And then in season three, she got them back, and she got a boyfriend, Diego, and he really helped with Maddie, showing her vulnerable side. She's still sassy and fun-loving, but, you know, she's a lot nicer to Emma, who is her frenemy, as we like to call her. And she's a lot nicer to Andy and Daniel, who are her other frenemies. And Daniel's her ex-boyfriend. So there's a lot of relationships on the show, and there's a lot of magic.
What's interesting, Paris, when you talk about this, is the growth of your character from the first season, the second season, all the way to the fourth, coming into the fourth, that you kind of grown as a character growing up, but also making better decisions than you first did as this character, it sounds like, right?
Yeah, playing Maddie's definitely been a challenge, but in a good way, though. The writer definitely put scenes in there that definitely challenged me as an actress to kind of portray the role of Maddie, with whether it be crying or being really angry or being really comedic. You know, there's all sorts of ways that Maddie goes in her scenes, but, you know, it's been really fun to play her.
Definitely, and I'm sure. And the more and more you get, every year you film the show, you learn so much more about, you get so much more experience, don't you, being on the set with such talented actors and actresses and working with Nickelodeon. That must be amazing for your career, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I'm so grateful and thankful to Nickelodeon for giving me the opportunity to do what I love. And, you know, I think that's the most important thing. I think when you live life, I think you just have to do what you love. And that's the most important thing for me, at least. And, you know, I started with this show in season one when I was 12 years old, and now through four seasons, I'm now 15 years old, so I've kind of grown up with the cast, and it's kind of seen me evolve as a teenager. So it's definitely been a little awkward and kind of weird seeing myself grow through the season
on TV. How's that feel? How's that feel, Paris, when you watch yourself on TV and see yourself grow from what you looked like on television to now and say, "Oh my gosh, that's the same person," right?
Yeah, I'll look back at pictures that I get on my Instagram that people tag me in, and it'll be like when I was 12 in season one. I'm like, oh my gosh, is that really me? At first, when I saw myself on TV, it was so surreal. I remember thinking, oh my gosh, this is really happening. And when I was younger, I used to watch Nickelodeon and be like, oh my gosh, I want to do that so bad. You know, I've always looked up to all these supermodels, you know, just like my idols. And now I'm on the same network as they were on. So it's kind of very surreal and, you know, definitely hasn't hit me yet, that's for sure.
Well, I'm sure it hasn't, and have the run for 4 years is fantastic, and to know you got the one more year to do the promotion, and I'm sure you've learned the whole promotion end of things as well, getting this role more and more. You've gotten to connect with your fans in the last 4 years, for sure, right?
Yeah, I definitely love interacting with my fans, and I think social media has become such a popular thing now. Days. I mean, back then, you know, they didn't really have social media, so it was kind of harder for me to contact, like, my supermodels and stuff like that, and, like, idols that I adore. But nowadays, I think social media is such an impactful thing, especially for me. I love waking up seeing all of, like, my fans' Twitter comments and Instagram posts, and I think my fans are so sweet, and you guys are the best fans in the universe for sure, and I would not be where I am without you guys. So I definitely love and appreciate all of your support, not only for the show, but for me as well. And, you know, I just love that they're so supportive, and I'm so blessed, and I want to thank God for giving me the opportunity to do what I love, and thanking my fans for just being there for me every step of the way.
So that was interesting, Paris, when you first started out at 12 years old, and now you have notoriety. How did you handle that? I mean, because it looks like now you've really matured to understand how important your fans are to you and portraying yourself in that same way. But at 12, that's a challenge, right, isn't it, for sure, to understand, hey, I'm thrown in the limelight now. How am I going to respond?
Yeah, like, I had no idea what I was doing at 12 years old. Especially with social media, I remember I started out with like 300 followers, and you know, the whole new at the whole social media thing when I was 12, and now it's kind of progressed. Now I'm kind of, you know, getting better at it. You know, and you know, I just think that I just love my fans all the time, and I get fan mail from, like, people anywhere from ages 6 to, like, 17 or even older, and all over the world. And I just think that getting fan from India or Europe or Paris, you know, or Russia, I think it's just such an impactful thing. And I definitely love helping fans through a hard time. So I get people saying, oh, I'm going through a hard time, and your character on the show has really helped me. I just think that's so impactful.
Now, always our listeners always want to know the Paris behind, not during with social media as the celebrity, but the one that has to go to school, either being homeschooled or attending a high school and all that stuff. Tell us specifically where you go to school or you're homeschooled throughout all your acting days, and how do you keep up your studies to see that education is important, especially coming closer to college, for sure, Paris.
Yeah, I definitely. I'm going to go to college. I plan on going to college. School academically is just just as important to me as acting is. And I think that, you know, your education, it's everything. And I'm homeschooled right now. I used to go to regular private school, but I switched to homeschool when I got into the acting, just because it was easier and more flexible with my schedule.
Right.
It definitely can get hard sometimes when you're filming and then you have to go back to school. And, you know, definitely balancing acting and school has been a challenge. But over the years, I've kind of learned to overcome it. And I believe that everybody has a different path. So the way I do school and the way that I film my schedule is not the way that another person's filming schedule is going to be. So I think that everybody has their own path, and I definitely plan on going to college in the future.
That's really good. So how do you, and honestly, people say, oh, homeschool, it's much easier, Paris, but there's really a lot more work involved, isn't there? Because
it's a lot of hard work because
it's not like you're sitting and listening to a teacher talk for 40 minutes. It's up to you to get the work done, create a product to show that you can progress individually. And that's a challenge. That's not the easiest thing, especially working sometimes on the set 12, 14 hour days, right? It's a long day sometimes, right?
Yeah. Especially nowadays, you know, with the cast members, like a lot of them are over 18 now. So they're definitely trying to get me to work as many hours as I can. And, you know, I think that I love what I do, so I don't care how many hours I work. I just do it for the acting part of it. But, you know, I think that that I just really am blessed and honored to be, you know, such a hard worker. And it is definitely a lot of hard work that you have to put into it. But if you're doing what you love, I think that no matter how much hard work you put into it, you always have to be doing what you love.
So what's your favorite subject? I know our listeners out there definitely want to know that as well. I'm sure your fans. What's your favorite subject in school?
Well, one of my favorite subjects is when I was in kindergarten, I figured, well, my name's Paris, so I might as well take French class. And, you know, I actually have a really accustomed to it, and I really love it. So French is one of my favorite subjects. And I also like history a lot. I think learning about history, I think learning about the past and what has made, you know, everything how it is today, I think that's really important, too. So, yeah, definitely French and history are my favorite subjects.
Any other projects going on, Paris, you can tell us about going on right now, or is it just pretty much filming season four right now?
It's pretty much filming season four. Season four is airing July 6th at 7 p.m. on Nickelodeon, so be sure to catch that. And if you want to see season three before season four starts, you can catch that on Teen Nick right now, too, because season three is airing right now on Teen Nick. And, you know, I'm just really excited and really pumped for this season four. It's going to be something you guys have never seen before, and everything you thought you knew just completely changed.
Oh, wow. So the listeners and your fans are excited about when season four debuts. Good talking to you, Paris. Is there other places? You're welcome. Where can we find information? What's your Twitter, Instagram, all the places people can follow you? Where can they go?
Yeah, for sure. My Twitter is Paris, Paris, the letter S, and then tweet. My Instagram is Paribunky, Paribunky.
All right. Well, Paris, thanks for taking the time, especially with your busy schedule, to come on the show and learn about your successful career so far, and also how you love to connect with your fans. I tell you, they definitely, I'm sure, are excited to know some of the amazing things you're doing, and they're going to be rooting you on through season four and be surprised, I'm sure, with some of the developments. So thanks again for calling.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care. All right. See you later. All right.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Neil Haley Show. Again, go to my website, TollTutor.net, for more information. Twitter, TollTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TollTutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, and Google Plus, Neil Haley. And I'm excited always when I get an opportunity to interview a WWF and WWE star and Tough Enough, but all these other things. And now he's doing some work with schools. So I'm excited to welcome the program former Tough Enough champion and WWE star, Daniel Pewter. Daniel, how are you? And thanks for calling, man.
I'm perfect, brother. Thank you for having me today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, fantastic. It's great that you're on the program. I was doing some research on you, Daniel. I was a Tough Enough fan in a way. I don't know if I'd say a fan just because of former professional wrestler that I was, and I watched the show. But I had to go back and do some research on you to see the situation, I guess, that you're most famously known for with your wrestling Kurt Angle in a shoot fight. So you were part of this whole MMA thing and stuff like that before you were a professional wrestler then? You were in mixed?
Yeah. Yes, that's right. I was 20-0 amateur and then 1-0 professional. So I was training from the age of 16 years old for mixed martial arts and then amateur wrestling. I started at 12 years old. So it was a good run, good career, and then I went into pro wrestling.
Very interesting, going into the whole pro wrestling thing, Daniel, and the process of the Tough Enough. That's interesting. A lot of the people that you ran into, I might have ran into them in the business as well. So first, when you decided, hey, I'm going MMA to be a pro wrestler, what did people think of it that were in the MMA? Were they thinking, are you kidding me, Daniel, you're going to be part of that?
You know, it's interesting because there's a lot of overlap in the different sports. And I think a lot of MMA fighters, as kids, they watch pro wrestling. So, you know, it was just funny. Some guys, you know, they would be like, dude, what's going on here? And then other guys, you know, back in the day in Japan, a lot of the guys that were MMA fighters would actually do pro wrestling too.
Really?
My old tag team partner Shinsuke Nakamura in Japan, he did both. And what's funny was I got to wrestle with him. What was that? About 4 years ago in Japan, we were tag team partners, and he trained at my gym when I was like 17, 18 years old with one of my coaches, Brian Johnston, for a fight. So I knew him 10 years before I actually got to tag team with him. So it's pretty amazing how it works to hand in hand.
I think a lot of people don't understand this question because I'm a former professional wrestler, is that I, when I was in Germany, ended up having to shoot fight somebody because the person was not letting me get over in front of the crowd because it was his hometown in Germany. So I had to take him down, stretch him, and put him down saying, are we ready to get started and all that stuff, because you're blowing spots and stuff in the match. So a lot of times people don't understand, even in the WWE or pro wrestling, at times matches don't work out the way they have to work. And if you don't know how to, I guess, let's say the word stretch somebody and take them down, you could be embarrassed in a match, couldn't you?
Correct. And, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that I was the toughest in WWE, you know, but all together, you know, I mean, when I was there, yeah, there's some tough guys like Hardcore Holly, who was coaching me, and he's a great guy. And there's, you know, Kurt Angle, and these guys are really good, but there's a difference between being tough and technical.
Right.
And if you're a gold medalist, you know, and I key lock you and you don't see it coming, then you don't even know what it is. You don't know how to defend against it. It's all technique, right? I mean, it doesn't matter how tough you are. I'm going to snap your arm off.
Right. The Headbangers did that to me. I don't know, Daniel, if you knew, I'm 6'10". What was 310 pounds back in the time, and I worked, they were the Spiders in the Ozark Mountain Wrestling, and basically before they became the Headbangers, and if I screwed up a spot or something happened, they would take me down, especially Chaz. He would not take anything. He was an amateur wrestler, and he put me in a shoot hold and say, now let's get started. Let's be real. And a lot of the guys down south, they would put people in shoots, especially the amateur wrestlers. So I think that people understand that you get in the professional wrestling ring. That's why you're saying there's the differences with MMA and that, except we know who's going to win in pro wrestling. But at times, it is not fake. You're getting beat up. You're getting hurt. And people really are not. If you do things wrong, you're going to end up getting hurt in the ring, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, with the pro wrestling, I actually got hurt more than MMA fighting. I never went to the hospital once in MMA. In pro wrestling, I went to the hospital a few times. And so to be able to see the abuse you actually draw, like in practice, MMA fighting, you get more abuse than actually in a fight because it's that more consistent. But by the time you're in a fight, you've already gotten beat up so much, and it's that consistency of just getting pounded that your body's more used to it. But in pro wrestling, same thing. It's abuse, but it's more abuse. You're getting dropped. You're getting people landing on you. You're 200 and, you know, whatever pound person. Most of them are, you know, 200 or over, and you're falling consistently on your back or on people.
Yeah.
Like, that's not normal.
No, it's not normal. Or taking falls in the concrete or going through a table or taking chair shots to the head, all those different things. So, I know because of our audience specifically, and I saw the YouTube, I have to ask you a question about specifically telling us the story before the second segment. I promise you it's going to be all about your nonprofit, but the experience that is a YouTube sensation of you and Kurt Angle once you won Tough Enough and you had a shoot fight with Kurt. Can you kind of take us towards and tell us a little about that? Especially, I know I could share this with a lot of my wrestling friends because I can ask definitely the right questions in this process. Take us through this.
Yeah, for sure. So you know, we started off, each individual segment on Tough Enough was completely different. Some of them, they gave us a little bit of information and said, you have to dress this way, you got to do this, or, you know, whatever it was. And then, you know, they just, you know, threw us in situations. And it was great because it made that kind of stuff, reality makes good TV, you know, a lot of the time, because people definitely, if you plan part of it, you know, scripted reality, it's unbelievable. So we ran sprints, then we ate pasta and drank milk, and then we ran more sprints. And then they said, time to go. And the music, our music goes on. So we walk out to the ring, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, so they've been filming us all day running sprints, you know, eating food and running more sprints. What is going to go on here? So Kurt Angle comes out, and he does this challenge thing for us, and we do this up-down competition, and I'm doing a perfect. And then they kick everybody out except for myself and Chris Meraki, and they kick me out because the ref thinks that the blonde guy, somebody told him to kick the blonde guy out, and we were both blonde, so he puts me out. And then Kurt wrestles Chris Meraki. So it was just interesting, and he breaks a few of his ribs. And it's just interesting to be able to see, you know, how Kurt then, after he wrestles Chris, he looks at me and he goes, hey, you know, anybody else want to get in the ring with me? And I raise my hand, and everybody else is like, oh, my gosh, dude, you're crazy. And so, you know, I mean, you can tell really the spirit or how tough somebody is when somebody just gets whooped on by somebody and you know, a bunch of people get an opportunity and they're like, heck no, I do not want to look like it, you know?
Right.
And so I was like, I'm going in there. And, you know, I caught him in the corner. He was much stronger than I was. Mm-hmm. He's an Olympic gold medalist, go figure, you
right,
know?
Exactly.
And so, you know, I caught him in the corner. You know, what I'm good at is I'm good at catching people, you know, and it's just, it's a chess game.
Yes.
And so I figured, I didn't go in there with a game plan. I just said, hey, I'm going to go in there and wrestle him. I'll see how well I can do. But the rules were no striking.
Right.
And so that was the deal. The ref then, when I was on one of my shoulder blades, saved Kurt
right.
from me snapping his arm off. And a few months ago, Kurt admitted to it. You know, about a year ago, the ref admitted to it. So to be able to see,
yeah.
you know, 10 years later, right, you know, it's just funny that we could have done a huge thing on that in WWE, but they didn't understand or recognize that I actually caught him, which was crazy.
Daniel, if this was 10 years later, think of CM Punk, think of the smaller wrestlers now. They probably could have done this as an angle, ran a big deal for a long time, money between you two. Because the wrestling,
correct.
The business has changed even more. From then, that was still into the awe of big, gigantic wrestlers to now where you're seeing people that could be off the streets, that look like they could be off the streets, beat guys that look like they are, you know, completely gigantic. So that's interesting, the point. And then that they finally admit this in certain things. And who knows, Daniel, because I was also watching on YouTube that you're making a comeback into pro wrestling. I've already known this in certain ways in pro wrestling. You never stop as a pro wrestler. I've made two comebacks after Germany, and I'm 42 years old now, and who knows if I ever get back in the ring again, but it's in your blood. And somebody said if there's a pro wrestling match right down the street right now, I'd be in the ring. That's the funny part about it, is it just stays in your blood for sure, Daniel. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, definitely. I agree. You know, I love the entertainment. I love the fans. You build really good relationships with some of the wrestlers, and you have a lot of fun. You know, you can make people really, entertained and excited about life just because they look up to you. And that's really what we're working on with our aspect, My Life, My Power Entertainment, is, you know, really bringing in the, you know, some top athletes and entertainers to really be those role models for our future generation.
That's fantastic. So when we get back, we're going to go more into that, Daniel. We're talking to Daniel Pewter, WWE, MMA star. And I think I didn't answer the question about the whole back in the ring thing, but maybe that has something to do with what your nonprofit is. So when we get back, you're watching The Neil Haley Show and listening to Total Celebrity Show. And we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to The Neil Haley Show, second segment. Interesting conversation with Daniel Pewter, WWE and MMA star, with his nonprofit organization, My Life, My Power. So, Daniel, again, we all look at different circumstances. Look at myself. Pro wrestler, went back, became a teacher, then an entrepreneur, and then had my own radio and TV show. That we kind of look at our experiences in wrestling and try to take those experiences to daily life, to bring the excitement, to bring different things. So tell me about why you started this nonprofit.
Yeah, so we started the nonprofit about 5 years ago so that we could originally stop bullying. And then we went to drugs and gangs and this and sort of thing. And, you know, in America, we're number one, for instance, in per capita for prisoners, right? Okay. And we have the largest military in the world. We're number one pharmaceutical drugs. And so you look at some of these things that we're number one in. And you know, we're also, I think it was like 100 and we're above 100 out of 150 countries in happiness, right? So we're one of the, like, the most drugged up, imprisoned, unhappy countries in the world.
Oh,
and I'm
gosh.
Like, how do we create more value and fulfillment and help our future generations love their life mm-hmm. instead of committing suicide from being bullied, instead of
right.
going to drugs for a fast fix, right? How do we do this? And so what we did was we started going around to schools asking their biggest challenges. And
right.
And we had kids that said they were being raped and beat and,
oh my.
And homeless and, mm-hmm. you know, no food and just like America, this is America. Like, it's just incredible that a lot of these things can happen in our country. And so it's because we've spent time on stuff instead of love.
Okay.
Like, my parents wanted to give me more, their parents wanted to give them more mm-hmm. stuff. And they thought about, how do you build a bit better career? How do you get more educated? How do you do, it's just about what can you, how do you have a better retirement, right?
Right.
And it's all focused about, like, long-term, which is a great thing, but you got to enjoy the moment. You got to build community. You got to love each other for who you are. And so we created a peer mentorship curriculum that is evidence-based now. We've been in 32 states and 10 countries.
Wow.
We're working with groups like the FBI, DEA, Homeland mm-hmm. Security, local law enforcement, working with the White House. We're working, we just became
right.
a university college course.
Really?
Starting in the fall at Nova Southeastern University. It is the first peer mentorship university three credit course in the country. And so we're working to not only work with the educators and law enforcement and parents to make them understand how to help their kids create more value and fulfillment in their life, but we're also working with students in the schools consistently with a year-round program, which most programs don't do.
Right.
So we not only educate and train the mentors, like I was just at a school today in Broward School District in Florida, and they said, hey, we started a mentor program, we're doing great, but we don't have a curriculum, and we've never trained our mentors. And so we specialize in training mentors. We specialize in then getting some of these high-energy kids that, you know, either are in juvenile hall or that, you know, have challenges, major challenges in their life. And we help these educators understand how to change their mindset. And so we created this, and then often we created My Life Apart Entertainment because a lot of people go out and they ask for money as a nonprofit, and they say, hey, give me $10, give me $20. Well, $10, $20, if you got a lot of people throwing in $10, $20,
right.
you can really do a lot. But these days, you know, a lot of people, they're going away from that model, and it's more of the social entrepreneurship model.
Right.
So it's how do you buy, like, a ticket to a pro wrestling event, and how does that support a kid for a year?
Oh, that's interesting. So that's a really interesting thing, Daniel. What, are you trying to get me back in the ring? Just kidding, Daniel. Well, I'll come out and work you and put you over in one of your towns. So basically adding this specific portion of this, Daniel, that people buy a ticket to a pro wrestling event to help raise money for your organization is very interesting. So what are you doing in that way? Explain that to us. And what organization are you working with in that process to help raise that money? What type of wrestling events?
Yeah, so we're going to do four wrestling events. The first one is Houston, June 21st, this month. At the Pasadena Convention Center. And so we just picked our, we basically put together a whole card. We've been working for the last 3-4 months on putting it together. Second event's going to be in LA, it looks like, in September, and third event's in South Florida. And we're looking at a fourth event. I think it's going to be Arizona or Washington, D.C. It might be Mexico, too. But we're working on some different events. We're bringing in local talent, and then we're going to fly a couple bigger names in each event. My sponsor, one of our big national sponsors, is called ResetSupplement.com. Okay. And so every event, we just did a tag team challenge, and we're going to do a press release later today. But we just picked two guys. They're based actually in Florida, but they it's just an amazing story on what they do and why they do it, why they wrestle, why they want to help kids, why they want to serve the community. You know, and so we're working a lot with good talent. I don't care if you're the biggest guy, the buffest guy, the right. You know, the best wrestler in the world. What I want is I want to help pro wrestlers
right.
and other athletes become because a lot of guys don't get paid that much when they're on the indie scene.
Right. So I know that for sure.
I know, right? Yeah. And so I'm going to be helping them understand how to build their brand, build their social brand online, and then also build their fan base, and then take that and then use their speaking ability, and we're going to teach them how to speak more and work with them on that, and we're going to basically start booking them in schools to go to assemblies across the country.
That's great. That's such a great idea for sure. And what big – so you're back in the ring then. I saw that in the YouTube then, right? You're going to be wrestling as well.
Yes, I will. I'm going to be main event with Major Mark, and then it's a tag team challenge that we're going to announce later today. I'll actually send you the press release right when I send it out to our publicist. So,
well, fantastic. And so did you think when you were starting this organization, this nonprofit, you were going to bring back wrestling again?
No. You know what's funny is, you know, everything I do is for a purpose.
Yeah.
I just don't wrestle to wrestle. I wrestle to make an impact on our generations, you know. So, you know, anybody can do anything to just do it, but I really want to see a result at the end of the day. And so that was one of the big things that I talked to my board about, and I talked to some of my advisors and mentors, and I said, how do we, you know, what do you guys think about this? How do we rebuild America and get it to where it should be, you know? And they said, well, go back to wrestling. So I said, I love it. Let's do it.
It always goes back to wrestling, Daniel. Don't you understand that? It doesn't matter what we did all our lives. We're always the pro wrestler. I don't get that. I don't get it. It's
I know.
That's the conversation. That's the different thing. So the big events and the big venues you're working in, basically you're looking at is bringing talent that's going to put on a good show, but also a family-oriented show because of what the whole message is then, right? Correct?
Correct. And that's a big thing that we're kind of playing down, you know, a lot of different shows and on some of the TV shows, you know, it's a little more sexy and a little bit more violence. We're going to tone that down just a little bit, but we're going to have great entertainment. These wrestlers that we're picking, we're handpicking them in different areas, and each city has plenty of wrestlers. But we're handpicking them. We're working with different promoters, and we're having a lot of fun. So it's going to be a great show June 21st at the Pasadena Convention Center.
Fantastic. And so once you send me the press release, we'll know the different lineups. So are you partnering with any other big names, Daniel, in these events, these four events?
You know what? If I'm going to send you a whole list of wrestlers that we're partnering with. We got some guys from TNA. We got some couple ex-WWE guys. So it's pretty awesome to be able to see who we're partnering with. Each event, we're partnering actually with different promoters in the individual cities. Because I not only want to, it's not about us just creating something and trying to out promote somebody else. It's us working with local talent and helping those local pro wrestling companies get to that next level. You know, because if I can take five guys in each city and have them do 20, 30 assemblies a year,
right.
Now they can make more money than they ever have. They're going to make more money than they actually get paid to wrestle. And they're gonna have a better life. They're gonna work harder. They're gonna be in the gym more because now they're actually doing more of what they love to do every day.
And they're making a difference. When I got to doing autographs and different tours in Canada and Germany and working with the kids and doing the Polaroids and all that stuff, it was fantastic. And then be able to do those talks and teach them how to talk and about making the right choices in life and the right decisions is so key, Daniel. and developing and growing everything that you're doing, for sure. Yeah, it's a great story. Yeah.
One other thing that I can just throw at you, we can give out a couple tickets. I'll put a couple names on a list. So if you have a couple people in Houston that want to come to the event, I will win the tickets however you want to do it. I'll give you two tickets. So I was just thinking about, you know, people that are listening to this and they want to come out, you know, apply for it.
All right. Well, fantastic. We'll definitely stay in touch and figure out how the promotion. So the next event is going to be, you said, in California, or is it in Houston? Which one's the event in June?
The first event is Houston area, Pasadena Convention Center, June 21st.
June 21st. Then you're going to be in California, you said, in September, correct?
Yep. We're working on the dates right now.
Because it airs different times. Like, our television show will air at this time, and then the radio show will air at this time, Daniel. So it was great talking to you. Where's the best place we can find information on you? Where can we go?
Go to mylifemypower.org or go to mylifemypowerentertainment.org. Or if you want to see about me personally, you go to danielpewter.com.
It's funny how wrestling comes back to you. So you're like, You never thought you'd go back in the ring after you went on to a different career after your experiences in the WWE and then also working in some other indies. And then, bam, you're back again. So it's interesting. But you're doing it to make a difference. That's the important thing. You're using your gifts and talents in the ring and promoting from learning from promoters and now promoting something that's going to help kids. And that's great. So thanks again for calling, Daniel.
You got it. Have a great day. Thank you very much.
All right, that was Daniel Pewter, and a great show again, Neil Haley Show. Again, go to my website, TollTutor.net, for more information. Tour TollTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TollTutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, and Google+, Neil Haley. And we're going to continue to have great guests and interviews on the Neil Haley Show. And really liked our conversation with Daniel. You can hashtag Neil Haley Show. Live tweet all the different things. Should I go back to be a professional wrestler? I'll bring that out to you and see if that ever happens. If there's an event near me that will help raise money, you never know if I'll do that kind of PR. If Daniel could do it, I could do it. Well, Daniel's a little younger. But good talk to you guys, and we'll talk next week. Good day, everyone.
We're back to the Total Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, and Google+, Neil Haley. And I'm always excited to welcome to the program two-time Pro Bowler from Davin's Dream Team, Davin Joseph. Davin, thanks for calling. And Davin, how are you, man?
I'm doing pretty good, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great. And I tell you, during the off season is the time when it's really time to work really hard on the foundation, even though you do it 12 months a year. And I remember everyone saying, when you're talking about a non-for-profit or a foundation, it's like running your own business. So tell us, like, how, like, when you first got your feet wet in this to now and what you've learned, for sure.
You know, you're going to go off those general rumors and myths about how nonprofits work. Everybody kind of says, oh, you know, you find a mission, and then you go up to some grants and find you some sponsors, and you make it seem like it's so easy. Well, the truth is, you got to have work done. You got to have experience. And so it's hard for startup nonprofits to last because, of course, a lot of donors and grants and, you know, organizations that are either giving out grants or even the government, national, state, local grants, they want, you know, data. You know, and so you only can get data by actually doing work. And so I know one of the early challenges of starting a nonprofit is really find those individual donors that also believe in that cause, do a lot of sponsorships and in-kind donations, not necessarily dollars, to help you along with the mission. And so the one thing that I definitely learned in the nonprofit world is all about relationships.
Okay.
It really is. It's about developing those relationships with donors, volunteers, even the people that you serve, and making sure that you're you know, you get feedback to know what you need to do to make the organization to run the way that they want to, because of course a nonprofit is for the community.
So very interesting. So basically what you're telling me is when you first start a foundation, you need to have donors and you have to create relationships in that community. And that means making phone calls, setting up meetings, doing all these different things. And when you first started this, Davin, was that different for you? Or do you think the way you network your way in your football career is pretty much the same way you have to network in the nonprofit world?
You know, one thing about football is that you don't realize how much networking really matters. And in the football world, everything's kind of already done for you. And so when you meet with coaches, you meet with management and whatnot, those relationships are already kind of put in place.
Okay.
And we're not really taught to kind of develop those relationships. Relationships with coaches and other players, those are organic, natural. But as far as going out and making sure that you know the restaurant's owner's name and that you build a relationship with that person, because of course later on down the line they may be able to help you, you know, even if it's for profit or non for profit. It was new to me. Long story short, it was new to me that those relationships really mattered. And so of course I'm a high and buy and a quick conversation kind of a guy. I'm not that great at, you know, stepping out and meeting people. And so it was new. And it was a new challenge, which is awesome that networking and relationships is just it's an important part of business, essentially.
And I think you're happy you're doing it now before, you know, life after football. So you're learning these skill sets now, because you're right. I forgot. You have so many handlers involved in football. You're told when to be at a place and when to go somewhere. Coaches say, hey, this is your curfew. When you're on your own with your foundation or something and you got to set up a meeting, you have to be there on time. You have to be prepared. You have to have conversation and questions, and you have to learn how to find those donors as well. So there's so many different things involved in this, for sure. And to get to put your face on this organization, meaning your Davin's dream team, for sure.
Correct. And it's been fun. I've gotten to know a lot of great people in this nonprofit world. That's not so great. And some people that, of course, keep their word, and some people that don't quite practice that thing. And so doing that, you really learn a lot about how you want to run your business and run your nonprofit by seeing and getting out there and attending different events. And you may fall in love with another nonprofit where, now, I've done that twice, where I just get behind a foundation with my own personal funds that are outside of my network. And so you really learn a lot of it helps you get that vision of how you want to have your own organization. And I think it's very important. It is very important.
Well, I definitely think it's very important. And I think it's a skill set's necessary in life, Davin, that you're learning, that you might have not been able to learn before football either. You might have learned it from your family, but now it's just like it's a different world. Every place you're a public figure, everywhere you go, and you're used to, you know, doing personal appearances. But now, hey, it's time to sit down. It's time to discuss things. It's time to learn about these people that might write the big checks or might be the ones that are helping promote, or I need to get advertising for this event, or I need to find sponsors for this event, and meeting with the corporate world. And there's a lot of work involved in it. And so that's why you have to have a great team, and you have to become a leader. So that's the other thing. You have a great team around you too, right? You couldn't do this alone.
Of course. Of course. And I think in the nonprofit world, and even in the business world, it's about relationships. It's about surrounding yourself around people that are a lot smarter than you. And I've successfully done that already. Where it's, you know, I have the vision, but I have people that definitely know what they're doing and how to do it, how to leverage, how to build a relationship, maybe even have existing relationships and that believe in the mission. And so whether it's business related, nonprofit, or even if it's just a goal, you've got to surround yourself with the right people to help yourself accomplish your goal, your mission, and whatnot. And so Davin's Dream Team is just that. And we're still building. Still building the team, still building relationships, and of course, still fighting for the mission.
And that's important. And I'm sure you've run into people that you thought, hey, let's put them in, have them involved. But then once they don't have that a mission focus, you're like, this is not the kind, we have to go find someone else, right? Because it's got to be about the mission. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's every relationship is not meant for right now. Every meeting in which you meet somebody today, it's meant that you're going to go into this with them today. I think a lot of it could be later. Some of it could be never. And, of course, as you know, people switch career paths, and so they may switch organizations they work for. But if you still have a relationship with the person, I think that's much more valuable than necessarily having a relationship with the organization, because it's a more personal relationship. But like I said before, every friendship, every relationship doesn't mean donor dollars, and it doesn't mean that you'll do business together. But if they may know somebody that can help you, but it's also always good to have some people at least cheering for you out there in the world.
Right, so they can endorse you, the better situation you have. Since you've had your foundation, I'm sure you've reached out to other NFL athletes or pro athletes that had foundations, but also I'm sure you've done a lot of research and study to become better at this, right? To learn specifically about the nonprofit world and what to do and how to do it, correct?
Yes. And so definitely run the ideas by my teammates. It's probably my number one thing I do. And I always ask them, hey, what about this concept? Or what would you change about this? Or even guys with nonprofits, I'm like, how do you get your fellowships out? How do you go about throwing your camp? Who's somebody that sponsors you in your camp, if you don't mind sharing that relationship with me? A lot of questions get asked, and I get a lot of feedback. And so it's trying to not take away from somebody else's plate, but at least learning from somebody else's experience. That's the number one thing. And, of course, if they can help you financially, some people will. Some people are kind of reluctant to really disclose to you who's sponsoring and who their donor in fear of losing them. But I think, number one, I try to learn from their experience, first of all.
And learning from their experience is very important, because you draw through them and you say, okay, this is something I'm thinking about doing, or is this going to really work out well, and different things. What event so far have you planned that you've been most pleased with so far in your career with this non-for-profit? What event would you say has gone the best? Yeah.
You know, I've been doing quite a few of them, but if you ask what's my favorite one, I do like a Thanksgiving meal giveaway back in my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
Very intimate event. It's only for I said needy residents that live in my hometown of Palmetto Beach, which is kind of a small city, small community. And we get a lot of the names from the church, other nonprofit organizations. And it's kind of like a meet and greet / small party, very intimate neighborhood event where we're giving away about 250 Thanksgiving meals to families that need them. And so it's usually the same crowd every year. I've been serving Thanksgiving for going on, soon to be 10 years. And so I've gotten to know a lot of them. And so they really look forward to it. We have a great time in doing it. I get all my volunteers from the high school and from the city. And it's a neighborhood event. It's nothing big and sexy, but it means something to the people. And so that's had to be my number one event that I've been doing for a long time, and that people really, really, really enjoy it.
Well, that's a tremendous story about, you know, that experience to especially for Thanksgiving, for people that are in need, that truly need that help. It makes you feel good. It makes you really feel good that why we go through the daily grind of the foundation to do something like that, for sure.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, Davin, what else is up with you now? You know, we're almost into July now, and we talked about training regimen a couple of weeks ago. Now, what else is new with Davin?
You know, now it's pushing it. You know, so now, as we talked about earlier, it is hot. It is hot, hot.
Yeah.
Real hot. At that age, you got to get outside in the heat and push it. And so a lot of running, a lot of conditioning, and even just being in the sun. I think that's something most of them kind of know about football players. You really got to get used to just being in the sun. So even if you're just outside sitting, your body gets used to being able to handle the heat by just sitting outside. That's hard enough. That just makes you running or walking or whatnot. And so definitely got to get ready for the summer heat, training camp coming up, and of course, preseason ball. Got to get the body ready. Got to get used to being outside. Got to get used to running in the heat. And so Florida is the ideal number one place to train. And so it is, it was quite an adventurous morning. The running that I had to do was very, wasn't very fun. It wasn't enjoyable. I was very happy when I was done. So, but that's summer month training for football camp.
Definitely. And newest, we talked about events 2 weeks ago that were coming up, latest events coming up with Davin. What are they?
So as far as events go, we're still looking on track. Free physical down in South Florida. We have free physical going up in Tampa. We're in the running for humanitarian of the year, and that is today out in Los Angeles.
Oh, wow.
With NIDA, so fingers crossed that we win the grand prize. My executive director, Angie Williams, is on the West Coast attending that event for me. And there's a bunch of positive things going on within the organization. We're having our annual board meeting coming up soon. And we're looking to, always look back, change. What can we do better? What can we do different? How can we do more outreach? And it's just an exciting time.
All right, best place to find info, Davin. Where can we go?
DavinDreamTeam.org. Same place. And hopefully we're having a new site coming up soon. And so it'll be a lot more transparent, easier to get through and have even more clear, precise information.
All right. Well, Davin, best of luck. Talk to you in a couple of weeks and beat the heat, man. All right. Okay? All right. Take care. Thanks.
Thanks, Bill.
Bye-bye. You're listening to the Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back. Fantastic show. Again, go to my website, TotalTutor.net, for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google Plus, Neil Haley, and also Periscope at TotalTutor. Periscope's an awesome format. You can see the behind the scenes on TotalTutor TV at TotalTutor on Periscope. The wave in the future. Trust me, you got to check it out. I'm posting a lot of those videos on YouTube as we speak. A way to continue to make myself the king of education media. I had to joke around about that. I called that something I was going to do. Tonight, the conversations I had with Daniel about how he's using professional wrestling to help others with anti-bullying and all these great programs. And then you look at it also what Davin Joseph's able to bring to the table, and then talking to another celebrity actress. What a great show. You need to go ahead and subscribe on iTunes, the network. You gotta download every show. You gotta listen to the entire network, not just the celebrity show, but all the shows at TotalTutor.net/Total Education Network. I mean, interesting people every day. I'm going to be covering a live Christian book fair next week, two days. And then some bigger things even in the horizon. Some really interesting interviews I'm working on right now. John Gray, remember him? New York Times bestselling author. Mars are for men, women are for Venus. It's going to be an interesting run this summer. And then Periscope will tell you the behind-the-scenes stuff that you're missing about what goes on with me on a daily basis. There's no one's life as interesting as mine. Trust me on this, because I'm just living the dream. Every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Take care, guys, and we'll talk tomorrow. Good day, everyone.